We're going to continue to bring you more as we learn it, and we're going to bring into the conversation now Fazee Zaka. He's a newspaper columnist for an English language newspaper in Pakistan. He's also a radio television host of a satirical program that was at one point banned under a state of emergency imposed by Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf. He's one of the officials with whom Bhutto had a complicated and difficult relationship. Mr. Zaka, can you describe how people are responding to news of Bhutto's death where you are in Islamabad?
It's been incredibly a sullen feeling for most people, because to most, she was such a larger-than-life figure that the thought that she's dead actually hasn't settled in. So most people are in a state of shock right now, and everybody across the whole spectrum of people are deeply saddened by what's happened.
And we should mention that she was not just an opposition leader in the minds of people in Pakistan.
That's true. I mean, she had a legacy for Pakistan's first left-wing prime minister, who addressed a lot of the inequalities found in our society. And he did that in a manner which has much to be desired, but she did carry that on. There's a huge legacy. And
you're saying that she carried on the legacy of her father, who had been prime minister and who was hung at the end of his term in office.
Yes. And also on top of that is that since party politics in Pakistan itself is not very democratic, so the PPP was essentially a one-man show, or a one-woman show in this case, and she was the institution of the political party that a lot of the poor in this country and lower middle classes identify with very strongly.
Would you tell me if you were at all surprised by this news that she was assassinated today?
Yes, very much. It's something that even I've been taken aback. In fact, when she returned to Pakistan after about 7 years of exile on October 18th, she had a rally that was her welcome back rally, so to speak, where she marked her foray into politics once again. It took her 18 hours, so many people had taken to the streets, just to get to her final rally destination. And a bomb blast happened at that point, too, on October 18th. And for a lot of people, she was vilified because most people thought that she had put her supporters at risk. And there was a slur campaign which described her as taking 18 hours to go from one place, but 18 minutes to escape. And the fact was that most people in Pakistan did not really believe her life was in danger, which she had repeated a number of times, both to the national and international press. The fact that it's actually true and the event has taken place has put a lot of analysts on the back seat. It's put a lot of people who did not believe that politics would take such a violent turn, at least on one of the most major figures in the country. And that's why, more than that, it's something so damaging that at least the next week in Pakistan is going to be wracked by violence. Already we've got reports in Karachi that there's violence happening. People are stuck. They're abandoning their cars. In Hyderabad, shops have been closed. People have set items to fire. And this is just going to conflagrate. It's a very serious event in our country's politics.
Fazee Zaka, stay with us a moment, if you would. We're going to bring another voice into the conversation. It's NPR's Philip Reeves, who covers Pakistan and has for years. We've found him across the border in New Delhi. And Philip, can you give us an idea, if it's even possible to think at this moment, of how the political situation is altered in Pakistan with this leading opposition figure killed not long before an election?
It has fundamentally altered. It's hard to see how the parliamentary elections, which are due on the 8th of January, can now take place anytime soon.
Yes,
the reaction to Benazir Bhutto's assassination is going to be extremely bloody in all likelihood. That poses a security issue for the city authorities, for the state authorities, and of course for the government itself, and they will respond in some way to that. It may mean another state of emergency in Pakistan. This is a fundamental hammer blow to the country, which is fragile as it is. And it is interesting. Your last speaker made a very good point.
Yes.
when he said that there was a feeling of almost complacency, because this political crisis in Pakistan up until this point has so often seemed to be a battle between the elites in Pakistan, between two former prime ministers, Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif, and the chief of army staff, Pervez Musharraf, and the chief justice of the Pakistan judiciary, all fighting it out, if you like, for the spoils of the country, but at a level that didn't draw in the masses. This, however, has the potential to get mass reaction going, and that is a very dangerous thing in Pakistan right now. And the predictions that it could be a bloody week or two in Pakistan may, I'm afraid, turn out to be true. Although one doesn't want to be seen to be predicting things before they happen, it's very dangerous there now.
And stay with us. Fazi Zaka is also with us, newspaper columnist in Islamabad. And Mr. Zaka, let me ask you, if it appears on first glance that the assassination of Bhutto affects the political situation of Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf.
It does, because what's happened is that in order for him to have gotten legitimacy, he had to bring Benazir Bhutto out of self-exile so that she could avoid the corruption cases in the country, which he effectively did through a piece of very controversial legislation called the Provincial, the NRO, which is the National Reconciliation Ordinance. The fact that she's dead and that he's at the helm of affairs really does change things significantly, also largely because she had in the past 1 week of all the parties been most vocal in what was, in her opinion, a pre-plan to rig the elections on a very massive scale. And the fact that he could not provide security details that could have prevented something like this for a second time after October 18 puts him in a very difficult position.
Philip Reeves, you're already hearing the questions being raised there. You can expect them to be raised in more blunt form, whether Pervez Musharraf did enough to protect this political opponent, whether Musharraf was in some way complicit. The questions will inevitably be asked, whatever the evidence.
Yes, they will. And the finger... Sorry, the finger of suspicion, sorry, Steve, the finger of suspicion, I suspect, and it'd be interesting to hear what my colleague has to say on this matter, but the finger of suspicion will point in two directions. The first will be in the direction of Islamist militants. I think the government of Pervez Musharraf will encourage that, and indeed it is a possibility. And the other, of course, will be the Pakistan intelligence agencies, who, having seen the plan for a kind of partnership to be built between Benazir Bhutto and Pervez Musharraf that would carry them through to what Musharraf presents as a transition to democracy, having seen that plan somewhat fall apart, mounted an attack on her. That will be the theory. It will be very, very aggressively pursued, obviously by Benazir Bhutto's party and her supporters, but also by the now vibrant Pakistani media, that we can be absolutely sure that they will disinter every aspect of this story, detail by detail, and it's going to be an extremely emotional political issue in Pakistan, not for weeks, but for months and possibly years to come.
Okay, that's NPR's Philip Reeves, who covers Pakistan. We were also hearing from a member of that Pakistani media, Fazi Zaka. Mr. Zaka, thanks very much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Under difficult circumstances, of course. And again, the news, former Pakistani Prime Minister and opposition leader Benazir Bhutto has been assassinated today, and we will bring you more as we learn it.